I'd like to preach this morning on the spiritual life of the Christian. My text demonstrates clearly that the Christian faith is more than ritual and tradition. Salvation involves an inward spiritual life that's initiated at our conversion and continues throughout our Christian journey. The inward life of the Christian is due to the presence and the activity of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to propose two aspects of the Spirit's work in us from my text. Number one, we are sealed by the Spirit. Number two, we are enlightened by the Spirit. This is the Spirit's work in us. We are sealed by the Spirit, and we are enlightened by the Spirit. First of all, Christian believers are sealed by the Spirit. You notice in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The sealing by the Spirit is the result of hearing and believing the word of truth. You trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted, you believed in that word of truth. There is a mental and intellectual challenge to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It confronts us with ideas that are foreign to the natural man. For the Bible tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of God. He cannot understand the things of God. So the gospel brings to our mind, challenges us with ideas foreign to our natural thinking. These are ideas that come from the mind of God. Our minds are confronted with things we never thought of before. And we have a challenge from the gospel. And that challenge is we either believe it or we reject it. Salvation is not the result of hearing only, but it is the result of hearing and believing. And my text tells us, you trusted after ye heard the word of truth. You trusted in Christ. You trusted in that person that the gospel is all about. Believing is the act of trusting in Jesus Christ. You trusted after you heard the gospel, the word of truth. And this trusting is in Christ Jesus. You notice in verse 12, we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. This is what salvation is about. It's trusting in Jesus Christ. The word of truth is about Jesus. And we trust in Jesus Christ. Trusting involves acceptance of Christ as our Savior and our Lord. He is our Savior. We trust in Him as our Savior. So our only appeal for acceptance with God is what Christ has done for us in dying for us on the cross and rising again from the dead. This is our only appeal for acceptance with God. Not what I've done, but what He's done for me. What He did on the cross in dying for me and rising from the dead. I trust Him as my Savior, but I trust Him as my Lord as well. And as my Lord, we give Him the reins of our life, and He becomes our spiritual GPS. He navigates us to our eternal home. We trust Him with the eternal well-being of our soul. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes you can't trust these GPSs. When I went to Brother Bobby's, brother's funeral, West Virginia, navigating those mountains, GPS taking me through those mountains, and every once in a while that voice would say, turn left, And I looked down the mountain, and I said, I ain't turning left. Praise God. And a little further on, it say, turn left, turn left. And I looked down the mountain, and I ain't turning left. I'm telling you, brother, you got to be careful about those GPS systems. But when you get Jesus in your life, oh, brother, He will direct you right. You can trust Him. That's what trusting is. You can trust Jesus. He will lead you in the right direction. We trust Him as our Savior. We trust Him as our Lord. We give Him the reins of our life. We trust Him with the eternal well-being of our soul. We hear that gentle voice inside of us saying, turn right ahead. Sometimes we hear that gentle voice saying, turn around. Praise God. Turn around. You've made the wrong move here. Turn around. And it's that gentle voice of Jesus. We've submitted to His Lordship. We respond to His voice. He becomes the director of our life. This is what salvation is all about. And as a consequence of our believing in Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The seal indicates ownership. The man who wanted to protect his property would mark that property with his seal. You know, we branded cattle in the West. They may still brand cattle in the West. Didn't have fences, but they had brands. They branded their cattle so everybody would know whose cattle they were. He could identify his property by that seal. He could identify what belonged to him and resolve any disputed claim. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has put His stamp on us. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So this is the mark of God's people. The Spirit of the Lord in us marks us out as the people of God. We are sealed with the Spirit of the Lord. 1 John 4:13 tells us, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. So this seal has a twofold application. Jesus identifies His own by that seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. But we also receive assurance that we belong to Him by that same seal. As the Scriptures tell us in 1 John, the Scripture I just read to you, hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. The Bible tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is a spiritual dimension to being saved. Brother, I want you to understand something. This is not just a ritual that we go through. It is a spiritual experience that we have with God, in which the Spirit of the Lord comes into our lives, marks us off as His own, and gives us the assurance that we really truly belong to God. Secondly, my second point is that Christian believers are enlightened by the Spirit. Notice in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. All right? So, this is one aspect of the enlightening of the Spirit. He makes the Lord more familiar to us. You get that? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, the Spirit of God is enlightening us concerning our Lord, making Him more familiar to us. And then, going on, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Okay, so He's increasing the Christian's awareness of the spiritual benefits that are available to him. In three ways, He increases the Christian's awareness of spiritual benefits. Three areas. The hope of His calling. You may know what is the hope of His calling. Secondly, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And thirdly, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Praise God. Three areas that He's enlightening us concerning the spiritual benefits that's available to us. The hope of His calling, the riches of His inheritance, the greatness of His power toward us. So we're going to deal with these things now. First of all, we're going to deal with this fact that the Christian is enlightened by the Spirit concerning the knowledge of God. So, this is the activity of the Spirit in the life of every believer. He makes the Lord more familiar to us. He teaches us the way to please our Lord. He instructs us in the proper trust in the Lord. We learn what to expect from the Lord in various circumstances of life and in changing seasons of life. We are taught by the Spirit of God that God is near when we are threatened, that He is a very present help in trouble. He fights for us. When we are under attack from our deadly foe, we learn that God is faithful. We learn that we can trust Him in every circumstance. We become more familiar with God through the work of the Spirit of the Lord in us. He enlightens us. Then He's increasing the Christian's awareness of spiritual benefits in these three areas. The hope of His calling. God wants you to understand what is the ultimate outcome of answering the call of God in your life. You know, sometimes we don't think about that. You know, we just think about the beginning of the journey. We started out, God saved us, the Spirit of God's come in us. Now we are Christian, but what is the ultimate outcome of answering that call? And the Spirit of the Lord wants you to understand what is the ultimate outcome of answering the call of God in your life. He illuminates and enlightens us to the hope of our calling. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says this, Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. What is the hope of our calling? It is the hope of being like Jesus. This is our blessed hope. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Sometimes we sing a song, oh, to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Jesus. This is my prayer. This is my plea to be like Jesus. This is the hope of our calling. He's called us not unto uncleanness, but He's called us to holiness. He's called us to be like Jesus. This is our hope of being like the Son of God. The hope of our calling. And not only the hope of being like Him, but of seeing Him as He is. Hallelujah. We are going to be made like Him, and we are going to see Him as He is. One of these days, our faith is going to end in sight. We're going to hear the trumpet blast and the call of our Savior. And there's going to be a reunion in the air with the very one that loved us, went to the cross and died for us, conquered death in our behalf, ascended back into heaven, and has been praying and interceding for us for all of these years. And someday we're going to see Him as He is. Praise God. He's coming back again. This is the hope of our calling. And the Holy Ghost is given to us to teach us and enlighten us as to the hope of our calling, the ultimate outcome of answering the call of God. Now, I want you to understand something. You will soon be discouraged in your walk with the Lord if you do not allow the Spirit to keep your eyes on the ultimate outcome of your calling in Jesus Christ. Secondly, He enlightens us in this area. The riches of His inheritance in the saints. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Every child of God has been put on the list as a child of God and put in the will of God so that we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Revelation 21 and 5, the very end of the book says, behold, I make all things new. And in verse 7 of that same chapter, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'm going to make all things new, God says. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Well, what are we going to inherit? We're going to inherit a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, an undisturbed fellowship with God, an unbroken fellowship with God's holy people, and a place where there's no tears, and no death, and no sorrow, and no crying, and no pain. Before service this morning, some of us old people were talking, you know, and talking about the pains that we have. Some of us old people, you know, we was talking about the pains that we have. And it seems like the older we get, the more we find that our bodies break down, and we suffer here and suffer there, and pains here and pains there, and they seem to increase the older we get. But I told Brother Johnny, we're going to a place where there is no pain. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. So we've got an inheritance in the Lord. God has promised to His people, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now listen, he says that the Spirit, in my text, that the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We have been given the down payment already. When God gave us the Spirit of God in us, He gave us the down payment on the fullness of our inheritance in the future. Now listen to me. I want you to understand something. Salvation is a glorious thing. It is not just a ho-hum, you just keep on the way you've been going and no difference in your life. But when the Spirit of God comes in you, you have been given a down payment on heaven, brother. Hallelujah. I say you've been given a down payment on heaven. There ought to be something thrilling about that. There ought to be something that makes you happy about that when God has given you a down payment on heaven. Already enjoying a little heaven on the way to heaven. When you get saved. Oh yeah, you ought to be happy about that. Hallelujah. And this is what it means to be saved, brother. Hey, it's more than ritual. It's more than tradition. It's a spiritual experience in which the Spirit of God comes in us and we are given a down payment on heaven. My, it's wonderful to be saved. Hallelujah. Our glory. That's why we can say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because there's a little heaven in me and a little heaven in you. And we get together, enjoy a little heaven together on our way to heaven. We've already been given a down payment on heaven. Hallelujah. I want to ask you something. Are you thrilled about this? Now, I know you can't walk around with a smile all the time and acting like you're just on top of the world all the time. I know that's true. But I want to know something. Is there a joy down deep inside of you that you have received an assurance from God that heaven lives in you and that heaven belongs to you? Thirdly, the Spirit is enlightening us to the greatness of His power to us. He said, verse 19, that the Lord enlighten you. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us or to believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. This power that's available to us was witnessed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We saw it demonstrated when God raised Jesus from the dead. We experienced it in the new birth. The next chapter, first verse, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath He quickened, made alive, resurrected those who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you get this? That being saved is being made alive. That it's coming out of death into life. That it's a resurrection. I want to ask you something now. I want you to be honest about this. I want to know, is your salvation just a ritual, just a tradition, just being baptized, just being raised a certain way? Or have you received this wonderful experience of being made alive? Oh, yeah. You know, somebody said, explained the work of the Lord like this. Said that Jesus did not come so much to make bad men good as He came to make dead men live. And this is where righteousness comes from. This is where holiness comes from. This is where obedience comes from, is that you are raised from the dead and made alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. My, how can a person be raised from the dead and made alive and not know it? You know, I ask some people sometimes, or you say, well, I hope so, think so, maybe so. Hey, there's something better than that. There's a resurrection available to you. You can have a spiritual resurrection in your life. You can be made alive by the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost enlightens us to the power that's available to us. And that power makes us brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. We receive that power. We experience it in the new birth. We receive that power in the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to receive power. You're not only going to know about it, you're going to experience it in your life, and you're going to be used by the power of God to be a witness for Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is opening up to us, unfolding to us, the power that's available to us as the saints of God, as believers in Jesus Christ. And we'll try to bring this to a close. But the presence and activity of the Spirit in a person's life distinguishes the believer from the merely religious. Multitudes have practiced religion without knowing God. Multitudes in this nation practice religion without knowing God. Being baptized, becoming a member of a local church, learning a few religious phrases, cultivating some religious manners is not going to cut it at the judgment. My text makes clear that true religion, the result of trusting in Jesus Christ, involves a spiritual transformation and a spiritual journey. Understand that. It is a spiritual transformation and a spiritual journey. God saves us and puts us on the road to glory. And there's a journey ahead of us. And as we allow the Spirit of God to work in us, His activity becomes visible in our life as He works in us and through us. The Spirit of God takes up His residence in us and makes God familiar to us. You understand? We become familiar. He's not a stranger to us. One old Puritan testified before his conversion, "God was once to me a wayfaring man, a stranger. But in the experience of salvation, God is no longer a stranger. God becomes familiar to us. We know Him and He knows us." And I want you to understand this, talking about the Christian journey being a Christian experience being a journey. No Christian experience is static. The Spirit not only takes up residence in you, but He sets up shop in you. So He goes to work on us. And He presents glorious vistas of our future. We have a view of the future because the Spirit enlightens us to what's ahead. And He shapes us into a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. And He fills those sanctified vessels with divine power to be soul winners, world changers. Oh yeah, they turn the world upside down. He gives us power to be world changers, to be culture shapers. Not shaped by the culture, but shaping the culture. Not being conformed to the world, but being conformed to Christ. We become culture shapers, kingdom builders. This is what the Holy Ghost does for us as we journey along this path of righteousness and holiness. There is a journey, and the Spirit of God sets up shop in you, and He goes to work on you to make you what you need to be as a child of God. Now I ask you this morning, as Sister Judy comes to the piano, I ask you this morning, have you had a spiritual transformation? Is religion to you more than just a ritual, a tradition, a following of the family way? Shaking the preacher's hand, being ducked in the pool, having your name added to the roll. Is this real in your heart? Have you had a resurrection? An encounter with God? Where God is no longer a wayfaring man. God is no longer a stranger. He lives in our hearts and works in our life. That is what it means to be saved. This is the spiritual life of the Christian believer. Now, I don't know the condition of your heart. but Jesus does. And He loves you. And He wants you to have a genuine experience with God in your life. And you that have believed from your heart in Jesus, He wants to take you on a journey, do a work in your life. If you'll just submit to Him, He'll take you on a journey, do a great work in your life, transform you, make you a useful member of the kingdom of God. Let's stand together.
Have you a heart that's weary?
We're going to wait a few moments here. There's someone here in this service. You've never had a genuine experience with God. Never been born again. Never had God to transform your life. We're going to wait just a few moments. Jesus is available. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Gospel message. Lord, work in us. Work through us, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. We'll give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name.